Glad you came to share the service with us, and we want you to join in with the carols as we sing them together. Before time began, God had a plan and a purpose that would involve each of us. It's the way he would win back a lost world to himself. The Christmas story is part of that incredible plan that he has, an incredible part. And so, as the Christmas story unfolds, remember, and remember this specially, you are invited to be a participant and not just a spectator. Now, what we need to acknowledge, we've come a long, long way since that first Christmas. And Christmas is about God breaking through into our world, out of the darkness that shrouded the world. God sent a very special message through the prophets. They were some of the front men who were involved in this Christmas story. Here, we want to tell you about what this prophet had to say.
For unto us a child is born, for us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
But it would not just be Isaiah's words alone. There would be another man, another prophet called Micah.
And you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times.
And then in the days of exile, Daniel would add his comments too.
He was given authority, glory and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed.
It's incredible, really, that 500-600 years ever before he came, all the details of the life of the Lord Jesus would be set out in a prophetic way, to the exact detail, to the exact place, to the exact nation. And so we're going to think of the place. Micah said it would be Bethlehem, about 5 miles just down the road from Jerusalem. So let's sing the carol that tells us about that.
So still, be still.
the news.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even your relative is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Here's a lovely little song that the children like to sing, but all of us can sing it today. "Infant Holy, Infant Lowly." Ask a question, Mary, did you know the significance, the importance, the complications maybe, the extent of all that's going to happen? Well, she was troubled. Did you hear that phrase? So Gabriel tells her not to be afraid. She was confused. How can this be? He's told to expect a miracle. And that wonderful last part phrase, "For with God, nothing is impossible." And if we had read on in that story part in Luke's Gospel, there comes a song that she sings. We call it the Magnificat, the great song, and so on. And she said how her spirit has rejoiced in God, her Savior. She had the heritage. She had the spiritual experience. She was the line of David. There's something special about her life. There's this salutation when she meets up with Elizabeth, the cousin there, And then if you read the song, there are notes of praise. Praise for his love, praise for his favor, praise for his might, for his mercy, for his grace, and for his goodness. We're hoping that as this service progresses and ultimately comes to its conclusion, that you will have that note of praise too. that there will be something about what you discover here again today in familiar words and familiar songs that will bless and enrich and even change your life. Joseph is the other intriguing character in this story. And Joseph discovers what is happening.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Both of them find themselves in the place that Micah had declared would be the place for the birth in Bethlehem. A whole set of circumstances had caused that to come about. It would have been a very special night. And we have a song that talks about that night. Let's sing it. Center place in this spectacular story. The Bible is silent as to what they look like, and it's the painters from the Middle Ages and the Renaissance that give us the pictures of angels in wings and white and so on. But people were not used to seeing them. So the first words were, "Don't be afraid." Whether it was Zechariah, with regard to the son who would be John the Baptist, whether it was to Mary, learning that the Son of God would be born from out of her womb, whether it was to Joseph, you just heard the words, needing to be reassured so that he would support Mary, whether it's to the shepherds, so they would hurry along to Bethlehem to see what was happening, whether it's to wise men, because they will be warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, because his sole intention was to destroy what he thought was a challenge to his throne. They come in dreams. They come in real time. They come in fearful display at times. They come dressed, disguised as ordinary people. Because Hebrews 13:2 says, "You have entertained angels unawares." It's the angels that rolled the stone away on resurrection morning. It's the angels that opened the prison doors and let Peter escape. It's angels still at work in our world. You may not see them, but you ought to follow their lead. And they can come to you at any moment and any time and in any place, just like they did in the gospel and the Bible accounts. But we have a special song about angels from the realms of glory. incredible moment, the whole world has changed. One unbelievable moment that would forever alter the lives of every person who's ever lived, from Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the king, Herod, the wise men, and us living here in this new millennium. What did Jesus do? It's very simple. He swapped the spotless glory of heaven for a dirty, grimy stable. He went from commanding angels to sleep in the straw, from holding the stars in place to clutching at Mary's finger, and the hands that held the universe would be pierced with the soldier's nails. Why? Because that's what love does. Because your place in heaven was more important, he gave up his so you could have yours. We want to sing you a little contemporary song. Have we got enough light? Can you see? Yeah. You come with me, so I can give Ruth the instruction. Ruth needs to see me. Ruth, you get the light here. Come and get the light here. Ruth needs to see me. Ruth needs to see me. Okay. Okay, everybody. Fun? Everybody needs a friend. Let's sing you a little contemporary country song. You may recognize it from Langthorne. We want to tell you about our special friend. Thank you, guys. Everybody needs a little help sometimes. No one stands alone. Makes no difference if you're just a child like me or a king upon a throne. For there are no exceptions. We all stand in line. Everybody needs a friend. Let me tell you of mine. He's my forever friend. My baby. Nice to rainbow's end. He's my forever friend. Even when I turn away, he cares for me. His love no one can shame. Even as I walk away, he's by my side. With every breath I take. What to do? couple of notes there coming through. We are better at the practice than we were there, but don't worry about it. We can't see, actually, I'll tell you the truth. Okay. Are you ready? Gently. Thank you. Lost the children, but we haven't lost the song. Away in a manger, be near who? Tell me, come on. Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay. This lovely little carol. Let's sing it. There was, of course, a special word for the shepherds. For that night, some shepherds were in the fields nearby, watching their sheep. An angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord was shining around them, and suddenly they became very frightened.
The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, because I'm bringing you good news.
It will be a joy to all the people. Today your Saviour was born in David's town. He is Christ the Lord. This is how you will know him. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding box."
Then a very large group of angels from heaven joined the first angel. And all the angels were praising God and saying,
"Give glory to God in heaven, and on earth let there be peace to the people who please God."
Then the angels left the shepherds. They went back to heaven. The shepherds said, "Let's us go to Bethlehem and see the thing which has happened." So the shepherds went quickly, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the feeding box. The Bible record tells how God prepared for this in a most specific and particular way. He had a front man, that was John the Baptist, who would say, "Look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He would be the front man. And then there was the sign writing in the sky. Now we take an aeroplane and we drag a banner behind it. But then it was a nova, it was a star. It was something that brought the planets together in a specific and a particular way. And of course, it was the wise men. They didn't come to the manger. We mix it up when we do a nativity play. It's a little bit later when the Bible says they came where the child was. What and how long, we don't really know about that. But we do have a carol. Come back up, Rob. Andrew, that is your choir. Rob, this is your choir. And the creme de la creme. And those who are up in the gallery, you just choose whichever one you want to sing with. The creme de la creme is my choir. So we'll take one of these each. All right? So here we go with We Three Kings of Orient Are.
We Three Kings of Orient Are, bearing gifts we travel so far, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity high, prayer and praising, all they praise in worshipping God most high. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. There is mine, is bitter perfume, breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrow in sighing, bleeding in dying, sealed in a stone cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem plain, gold I cream to crown him again, king forever, chief in heaven, over us walls to reign.
But how does it finish? How does it finish? Christmas is what? You've just heard, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. And the pictures we conjure up in our minds of the night of Christ's birth are probably quite unrealistic. Was Mary doubled over in pain? She wouldn't be comfortable if she'd been riding on a donkey. And she couldn't walk. And Joseph wasn't in pain, but he was in panic. Frantic to find a place that would be safe for Mary to have the baby. Never, never, ever lose sight of the fact that Jesus would be God's greatest gift to man. The birth of that tiny baby in an obscure village in the Middle East was God's supreme answer to the sin problem of the human race. It was God doing something extraordinary. And Christmas comes with this message every single year. We've picked it out earlier. He's Emmanuel, God who's with us. So do you know what we do here? Week after week, we open the doors of the church. And others do the same, We do it here, others do it all around the world. In some places, church bells will ring. Some places will have magnificent choirs and they will sing. And folk like Andrew and myself, preachers, will preach. And people will go past the doors. The lights from within the church would normally shine out like a beacon, and yet few will come in. Those who need this blessing that Christmas brings, who need it most. So as this year, 2018, draws to its close, Christmas is the moment to let everyone know that Jesus came, that he breathed the air we breathe. He feels and felt the kind of pain that we experience. He knows our upsets, he knows our hurts, because he died on a cross for our sins. He didn't come to frighten us, but he came to show us the way to love, to hope, to peace, and even to safety. It's to let us know there's a God who comforts us and sympathizes with us and wants to bless us. That opening statement of the angels to the shepherds, "I will bring you good news of great joy for all people." Think about it. The sky was ordinary, so ordinary. Maybe an occasional gust of wind was stirring the leaves and chilling the air. And stars sparkled overhead, and clouds floated in front of the moon. Just an ordinary night. And the sheep were ordinary too. Some were fat, some were scrawny, some were lumpy. And there they are, sleeping silhouettes on a hillside. And the shepherds were ordinary. Peasant folk. They didn't know much. Most of the time they smelt like the sheep. But they were conscientious. They were willing to do all that the job required, out in the night, spending time with their flocks, because that's what shepherds did. So ordinary. But that night, God put the word extra in front of ordinary, because he loves to do that. If he had not done so, the shepherds and the sheep and the story would have passed unnoticed and been soon forgotten. The sky exploded with light because the night was no ordinary night. No more. For the angels came in the night, because that's when lights are best seen and most needed. Did those folk in that Christmas story ever ask, "God, what are you doing in your world?" Well, God wants us to know the answer to a question like that. And that opening statement to the shepherds, it's personal. We bring you. It's still personal. Bring you. It's positive. Good news. In a world that's so troubled with bad news, it's good news of great joy. And it's universal. It's for all the people. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have done, where you have been, or even where you are heading. Christmas is for you. It's about you. And the message is so profound, yet it is so simple. It is that God loves you. The most famous statement probably in the whole of the Bible is in John 3:16, "Thou God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, would have everlasting life." Here, what we've been singing, sharing, talking through with you, you have it. The entire reason for Christmas is the love of God. He became one of us so we could understand what he is like. Let me be very clear. God is love. Not God has love, but he is love. You start to think then about the very essence of his nature. And he made you. He made me. So you realize he made us in order for us to love him. And if you can grasp this, you will realize that God's love is unconditional. He loves us on our good days and on our bad days. He loves us regardless of our moods and our actions and our thoughts. Because God loves us with an unchanging kind of love. And he loves us for the whole of our lifetime. If you want to know, if you wonder ever, how long is God's love going to last, then you have to look for your answer on the splintered cross, standing stark and lonely on a craggy hill called Calvary. And you look at not the baby now that was in the cradle, but the Christ who's upon the cross. And you'll see Jesus with his arms stretched wide, held there by spike nails and by love. And they will simply say, "This is how much God loves you." And the second part of it all is this. He loves you so that you know that God wants to be with you. Jesus came to earth at Christmas to remind us that God will always be with us, no matter where we are. If others abandon us, whether it be a spouse, whether it be parents, whether it be children, whether it be friends, God wants to be there for you. Emmanuel, God with us. Timothy says, in the flesh, he appeared in a body. God with us as a redeemer. You sang it. Christ the Redeemer. We are the sheep, the flock that he has bought from the slave market with his own precious blood. There's another word that the Bible used, how in this very act, God was reconciling us in Christ to himself. So he would come to touch our lives and be an example for us and be a companion with us, not just for the weekends, not just for the feast days, but for always. That's because you know that God loves you and God is with you. Then you need to know this too, that God wants to be for you. That's a huge phrase. Bigger, perhaps, than you ever realize. That God wants to be for you. You know, there was time and time again as Jesus was spending those 3 years moving around Galilee and Capernaum and those places and encountering people in situation after situation, beggars and blind and lame and lepers and so on. And he would ask again and again, "What do you want me to do for you?" This is our communion table, and we will lay it with bread and wine. And when we give the communion service, we take some words that are spoken and we say to the congregation, Jesus said, "This is my body, which is given for you." And then the Apostle Paul, he's trying to help the churches understand what it means to be committed Christians. And he says, if God is for you, who can be against you? I go back to Jeremiah 29. God says, I have plans for you. None of us know what we have to face in the coming year. But I just wanted to tell you tonight, and we have put this program together to let you know this, that God wants the best for you. And one of the ways you can respond to that is with the simple prayer, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that I've been going my own way, but I want to thank you for dying on a cross to pay the penalty for my sin. Please come and take first place in my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be. So when I make my way home today with a simple prayer like that, from where you sit, right now, as you read it and see it, say it to yourself and to him, because the God loves you. God wants to be with you. And most of all, God wants to be for you in whatever is coming your way. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Oh,
and I pick out that phrase you've just sung, born to give them second birth, starting afresh, a new beginning with the God who loves you, wants to be with you, in you, and for you. Let me pray with you. Amongst the familiar songs and the words that we've known since our childhood days, we sense your presence. We hear your voice and simply ask you to touch each of our hearts and lives today. Thank you for this great demonstration of your love and of your grace and of your power, of your favor and of your blessing to the whole of our world. Thank you for the time we spent together. May it be a memorable moment of encounter between ourselves and you, the living God. May you reign supreme in our hearts and lives, so we know you love us, and you're with us, and you're for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, because we like to sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, to kind of round it off as the finale. There will be refreshments and so on in the hall at the back. We're back here next Sunday morning in the daylight, having a sing-along and various requests and so on, and we invite you gladly to come and share that with us. But don't go away without pondering what Christmas is really about, and making sure that you know the Savior for yourself. The God who loves you, wants to be with you, and then go for you in the year that's to come. Let's sing, O Come All Ye Faithful. Do come and have mince pies and a coffee and whatever at the back. We wish you all a very happy Christmas. We'll be here next Sunday morning at 11. There'll be no evening service since it's so close to Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day at 10:30. Be blessed as you go on your way. Let me put a blessing on you. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you, smile on you, and grant you now and always to know his peace. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord fill you with his purposes and his plan. Be not just with you, but before you in time that's to come. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. 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 Thank you for being here.